Hello, the global economy is entering a dangerous place, according to the head of the IMF. The dark language used by Christine Lagarde and other leading economists yesterday led to stock markets across the world tumbling. A slight recovery today in Europe followed politicians queuing up to reassure the markets by declaring they're ready to take action to stabilise them. But is it enough? I'm Chloe Tilley, and for the next 30 minutes, we're joined by a banker, a trader and a journalist to answer your questions. Let's begin our conversation with speaking to Dr. Andrew Freris, who is Chief Investment Advisor for Asia at BNP Paribas Wealth Management. He joins us on the line from Hong Kong. And sitting with me here in the World Have Your Say studio is Alessio Ristani, who is a day trader, professional speaker and mentor on stock market activity. Alessio, I'll start with you first, because it's a pleasure to have a banker sitting with me, a trader with me. So many times we've wanted to speak to people over, well, since 2008, since the crisis. Just give us your view on what's happening right now and how worried we should be.
Hi, Chloe. I've been saying for a few months now that the governments, the politicians, the media are unprepared for what is about to happen, or what has already happened, as we've seen yesterday. I've been saying it on my Facebook page and my blogs and my emails. Basically, a global recession is coming our way. And guess what? It's already, we've seen the already beginning signs of it. In fact, the first signs, the first signals that a recession was coming was back to before August. Why? Well, first of all, everybody pretty much remembers what happened in August. Huge volatility, the markets went down, markets crashed, right? What people did not probably realize is that just before then, there was a huge shift of money out of stocks and into bonds. Okay, I'm talking about 10-year bonds, 30-year bonds. Okay, that usually is the first initial sign that something is wrong.
So that's showing a jittering on the market, if you like. It's almost like a precursor, if you like. Let's bring in Dr. Right. Andrew Freris. Do you agree that we're at the beginning of another recession?
Well, I'm afraid this is Alice in Wonderland kind of statements, because recession means whatever you want to mean. The Americans use recession as, and I'm sorry, it sounds gibbledygook, and possibly it is, two quarter-on-quarter negative growth back-to-back. Well, Japan has had that for quite a while. United States is likely to have one. Asia most definitely is not in any kind of recession. And I'm afraid I'm a little bit upset that whatever happens to the G3 economies, and that is United States, Europe, and Japan, is extrapolated across the world. Second quarter GDP growth rates in Asia are all strong, positive, and in some cases even growing. So to the immortal words of Sam Goldwyn, please include me out of your recession. Okay.
So in that sense, you're saying there's going to be more of a split. There's going to be Asia is going to be moving forward, the likes of China benefiting, and the traditional global superpowers, if you like, of the US and Europe are going to head into recession.
Two parts here. Okay. One should never, ever, never, ever confuse what happens to the stock markets and what happens to the real economies. And the second part is that Asia, in real terms, the actual economies, the day-to-day things, have decoupled from the big economies a long time ago. Not, however, our stock market. Stock markets in Asia follow very closely what happens anywhere else. And I think one could be gravely misconstrued what is happening and what's likely to happen if one is judged by the fact that, let's say, the Chinese stock market is something like 10 to 15% down year to date, but the Chinese economy is growing at 9.5% as we talk. If that's a recession, I'm immigrating.
With all great respect, I'm sorry, Dr.
Freris.
Freris, I'm sure you're very knowledgeable, sir. First of all, I want to just comment on that. You cannot separate the economy from the stock market. I can tell you, every professional trader who's listening to this will tell you this, that the stock markets are a leading indicator of the economy. In fact, the stock markets will reveal things that haven't even happened yet. Why? Because guess what? The big institutions, I'm talking about the smart money, the hedge funds, the institutions, what actions they take will leave trails. They leave footprints. If you follow those footprints, you will see signals as to what's really going on behind the markets. Okay. Here's the thing. There's a joke among traders, by the way, Chloe, that no two economists will ever agree on the economy.
We have noticed that even on this program.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not an economist.
Sure.
But you see, I don't have a view about the economy. I don't really care. I follow what I see in front of me. Here's one thing. While many economists can sit on this panel and talk to you about, oh, the GDP is this and growth is this, there is one thing that does not lie, which is the stock market.
Okay, what,
you, just one second. Hang on. Let me finish. If you look at a chart of the stock market right now, what you see on that chart is the reality. That does not lie. You will see patterns. You will see signals on the chart. If you follow those signals, you will see what's really going on behind the scenes. And the public and the media will only figure it out once it already has happened. So I'm saying this to all your listeners right now. Be careful, because you're about to see the next leg of this recession. There's going to be another crash, a big major crash. The markets are going to come down. I know it sounds like a doomsday sayer. I know I don't want to sound like a doomsday sayer, you know, a scaremonger. But believe me, this is what's going to happen.
Okay, question. In the last 2 years, the worst performing market in Asia, consistently worst performing in negative terms, actually 2.5 years, was China. Now, if the Chinese equity market was a leading indicator, well, I'm sorry, then unless you have to explain to me how come China consistently grew at 9 and 10%. I'm sorry, you said you're not an economist, and I'm afraid I have to agree. Okay, I think we should move on to some different subjects. Okay.
Can I just ask, Alessio, if we follow your view that we are headed for a recession, a worldwide recession, or a more localized recession, whether it's Europe or the US, is there anybody who actually benefits from it?
Is there anyone who benefits from it?
Do bankers benefit from it? Do traders benefit? Is there any benefit for anybody?
From the crash?
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, I'll tell you this. Everybody who is probably listening to this, Chloe, I got a confession to make. I wake up every night and day praying for another recession. Okay. Now, that sounds like I'm a bad guy, right? No, listen. I've been praying for this moment for 3 years. Why? Because you can make a lot of money if you know what you're doing in a crash.
But you can make a lot of money as a trader. I can't.
No, yes, you can.
I don't understand
Chloe, guess what? If I'm not allowed to give investment advice, obviously, on the radio. But look, I can tell everybody here what to do, and they can make money from this crash. Here's one fact I want to tell everybody here. More millionaires have been made in the 30s depression than any other period of time in history. This is a fact. More millionaires were made. Why? Because a small group of people in the 30s knew what to do. And they were prepared. They made a killing. And this is a fact, too. There's a few people actually who made a huge amount of money in the crash of 2008. How do you make money in a crash? You basically invest in those things that basically rise in value when a crash happens, right? I don't know if I'm allowed to mention some things that actually will go up in value.
Let's not go into that right now, because it's all going to probably become quite complicated. But wherever you're listening around the world, we're talking about the global economic crisis. We're joined by Alessio Rastani. He's a day trader. He's a professional speaker and mentor on stock market activity. Also, Dr. Andrew Ferris, who's a chief investment advisor for Asia at BNP Paribas Wealth Management. If you've got a question for either of them, you can pick up the phone. You can call us, country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. Interesting, Alessio was saying you can actually make a lot of money in a recession. Be interested to get your thoughts on that. Let's bring in Vivian, who joins us on the line from the UK, also Beatrice, who is in Germany. Vivian, welcome to World Have Your Say. What do you make of what Alessia is saying? Lots of money can be made in a recession. Do you feel positive?
I quite agree with him. I think also that the stock market traders in particular rely upon volatility. They don't want a stable market because they can't make any money from it. But when it goes too far, as it appears it has done this time, it does actually impact on ordinary people's lives.
Has it affected you?
Yes, I would say it definitely has. I'm self-employed conveyancing solicitor, and I have not had any work really for the last 3 years, I would say, since 2008, because the market is really flat, because people can't get mortgages, first-time buyers can't get on the ladder, and people don't move because of job insecurity. So I've virtually lost my career. And I'm 57. And it has affected me, yes.
What does that mean for your family life? I mean, to go from having what I should imagine were very good earnings to not having a lot in the last 3 years, has it put pressure? Are you able to pay your bills? Are you able to pay your mortgage or your rent?
It wasn't a vast sort of living, really, but... yes, I've had to use all my savings and cash in what pensions I can just keep going. I now hopefully have got a job in a call centre to start in October, which should, it's minimum wage, but That should cover things, really.
I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry, I didn't catch the caller's name.
Vivian.
Vivian, hi. The fact is, Vivian, I feel your problem. There's a lot of honest, hardworking people out there who are in a similar situation like yourself in America and, in the UK. I would say this. Listen, anyone who's out there listening in a similar situation to Vivian, do not be afraid. I know that the media, I'm sorry, with all due respect to the BBC, the newspapers, they will put fear into a lot of people. But listen, Warren Buffett, as everyone who's listening probably recognizes who Warren Buffett is, the richest share investor in the world. Here's what he says. When everybody's getting fearful, get greedy. And when everybody is getting greedy, become fearful. Now, how do you interpret that? I would say this. Right now, there's a lot of fear in the markets and a lot of investors. But you can make money from this. You invest in the industries that do well in a downward market.
The problem is this just sounds very scary to ordinary people, investing money. If you haven't got a lot of money, if you're scared you might lose your job, you might not be able to pay for your house, you've got children, etc. It can be really frightening to put the money into the stock market, which you don't really understand.
Absolutely. Now, Chloe, listen, nobody should ever invest anything that they cannot afford to lose, obviously. You know, only invest something or trade something, if you want to call it that, that you can really can, you don't want to lose, basically. I would say this, look at the last recession we had in 2008. What kind of things went up in value, okay? I will tell you exactly what went up. Any industry that benefited from a recession, I'm talking about, for example, stores that... like discount stores, like you got over here, got pound shops. We got something in America called Dollar Tree. Dollar Tree is a company that basically you go in, everything is $1. Okay, guess what? That company did so well. The share prices went skyrocketing through the recession of 2008. Why? Because Americans weren't buying their stuff from, posh stores like Saks and Macy's. You know, they went to Dollar Tree. Right. So listen, I mean, everybody out there, I would say this. If you can make a lot of money from this fearful recession, okay? You got to do some bit of learning. Just got a little bit of learning. Go on the internet, search something, but you can make, if you know how to put your money in the right place, I would say, listen, don't just sit on the fence and complain about how bad things are. You go out there and really start looking into how you can make money. Because listen, if there's one thing in America and Wall Street, there's a saying that shares take the staircase up, but they ride the elevator down. Right? Markets will go very fast on the way down. If you know what you're doing, listen, if anybody out here goes and buys put options, okay, I got just two words for you. Put options. Go and Google that. Just learn about put options. If you buy put options, just about any company, well, most companies that you can buy put options on, you'll make a lot of money.
Okay,
in a crash.
Let's not get too technical.
Okay,
Vivian, what do you think? That's sensible advice? Yeah. What do you make of that? And then Dr. Andrew Ferris.
I think
Dr. Andrew Ferris. No, of course, we'll come to you in a moment. But Vivian, just a response from you.
I think, sure. If you're a trader, you can make a lot of money. But if you're an ordinary bod and you haven't got any savings, certainly savings that you can't afford to lose, I don't see that advice is any good at all. Quite honestly, I mean, yeah, for a trader, it's fine. But
I would say this, Vivian. Listen, Vivian,
if you would, so much, Dr. Ferris.
Absolutely, I'll be very quick about this. Listen, Vivian, there is a belief that people have that it takes money to make money. Listen, if that was true, I would not have made anything in my life. I started with just less than £1,000 when I started many years ago. I had only like £1,000. And I grew that money, okay? Listen, even if anyone out there has got like £500 that they can afford to invest in the right way, just go and do some research on this, okay?
Okay, Vivian, I'm going to thank you at this point and wish you luck in your new job in October, taking a call center job. I know that you've been working as a solicitor or struggling to for the last 3 years. Dr. Andrew Ferris, you wanted to come in.
Well, I wanted to come in because I'm absolutely in stunned silence that anybody will tell a relatively simple, and I use that in a broad form, okay, and somebody that has lost quite a lot of money because of the recession, to buy put options. I mean, that verges your responsibility, because the put option simply gives you the obligation to sell shares, not to buy shares, of course, on the expectation that the prices are going to change. These are incredibly volatile highly sophisticated instruments that should be the provision of and the purvey of a professional trader, not a lawyer that has got lost his job. I'm sorry, Alessio. You know, I know you have your own ways of advising, and definitely I have mine. But in this period, telling simple people to buy put options, frankly, it is irresponsible.
I'll give credit to you, Dr. Ferris. I admit that certainly to the ordinary folk, you know, saying words like put options doesn't mean anything. If anyone wants to go a more safer way, I would say, look, gold and silver are going to get cheaper. Okay, so if you're if anyone out there doesn't want to do puts, fine. But here's something you can do. What will happen? I can tell you this one. Right now, gold prices and silver prices are coming down a little bit. They're going to get cheaper. I'll guarantee you, anyone if they buy gold cheaper, like it's going to come down, I believe, to $1,650 an ounce. Okay.
Okay, so you're saying go into gold. I just want to move the conversation on a little bit because we've got people on the phone and we don't have that much time left on the program. Right. Beatrice has been waiting patiently in Germany, but I know that you're originally from France. Beatrice, what's your point on this? Are you pessimistic? Are you optimistic?
Yes, I'm quite optimistic, but let me tell you one thing. You know, what I've just heard, these people squabbling about, you know, what direction the economy is taking and what you have to do to solve your problems. This is evidence, if any was needed, that nobody who does business, there's no economist, and no matter how much money he gets from any university or any institute, anywhere in the world, nobody has got an instrument to predict how the economy is going to do. You know, and this is why we're hearing this now on the radio, and the people who are so-called experts can't agree on anything, and they're giving silly advice to a person who's actually, lost her career, you know, because they have been selling thin air in the past, and they're actually advising her to go on and do what they've done, and what they've not succeeded in doing is like buying shares now and selling them more expensive later. This is actually... They're advising her to ruin the economy further because this, you know, the whole economy that we've got now rests upon all this speculation, and this is the basic problem that we have. But this being said, you know, I'm very optimistic. I don't think there is a crisis at all. You know, when I look around myself. You know, I live in a small town. When I go down the road, there is building sites all over the place. And I was in London last week. You know, you couldn't move for building sites. You know, where's the, you know, I don't see anybody, you know, losing their jobs around me. I don't, you know, I don't know anybody who's unemployed. I mean, where's the crisis?
Well,
I think this is all made up.
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Ferris.
There are two things here. The first point is concerning the capacity of people to make predictions and forecasts. And, of course, I'm afraid the forecast has three parts. It has a direction, it has a time, and it has a quantity. And it is, I agree with you, it's very, very difficult to get all the three things right. So people saying that, yes, there's going to be a recession in the next year, in the next 2 years, is like saying it's going to rain sometime. And, of course, it will. So the predictions will come right. The second point is, I'm afraid, anecdotological evidence. You know, if I walk down my street, I don't see the recession. Is perhaps sound, but it cannot be extrapolated. It cannot be extended to the rest of the economy. I wish I could really agree with you that there are people not losing their jobs, that there are people not losing money. But I'm afraid personal experiences, unfortunately, are not a very good guide as to what's happening to 60 million people or 150 million people. One has to be a little bit careful about that.
Sorry, caller's name was...
It's Beatrice.
Beatrice, hi. Listen, Beatrice, first of all, I would agree with you. Actually, the fact is a lot of fund managers, it's a well-known fact that most fund managers don't even know what the market's going to do because they make their money from management fees and commissions, let's face it, okay? And, you know, Dr. Ferris has a point, too. There's only so much prediction you can do, okay? I'm not interested in predictions. Listen, what you should be focused on is just following... Okay, here's what I would say. Look... I would agree with you. I am optimistic. And here's why I'm optimistic. This recession, this crash, and we're going to see the markets going down lower. Listen, it's not bad news. It's a huge opportunity. Why? Because if the stocks, and stocks will get cheaper. It's
Alessio, it's interesting that you're saying this, because you're speaking right now, my computer screen is filling up with comments from people who've got in touch with us responding to what you're saying, and I just want to bring some of those comments to you.
Sure.
Mayor in Bangkok has called us to say politicians, bankers and financial planners are the real criminals who've misused public and private funds. Benjamin in Tennessee has said on our Facebook page, facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay, your guest seems to have no clue how the other side lives. To invest, one has to have capital. It's fine for Warren Buffett to be greedy. And Alex in Cambridge, also on Facebook, says, sure, gold and silver might be getting cheaper, but food is more expensive and jobs are harder to keep. How most people who make up the global economy are supposed to trade in valuable commodities. Do you want to quickly respond?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say, I just repeat my comment before. The assumption that it takes money to make money is wrong. Okay. If that was the case, I wouldn't have made anything. Most, you know, let's face it, a lot of rich people out there started with bare what they had. Doesn't matter. Look, whatever you got, whatever saving you got, invested wisely. Okay. Look, here's what I would do. I wouldn't invest in stocks right now. Okay. Stay out of stocks for the moment. All right. Sure, a few stocks may go higher. Apple probably will go higher. You know. But listen, when stock prices come down, that's a huge opportunity for you to make a lot of money. Because listen, Chloe, you may remember that in 2008, Barclays share prices came down to 50 pence, right? That was a huge opportunity for a lot of – if you bought them then, I mean, they went to £3 by 2009, 2010.
So you can make a lot of money. We're coming to the end of the program. I want to leave the last word to Dr. Andrew Ferris. What thought do you want to leave us with, briefly, if you would?
I want to the people that might care to listen or are listening, in fact. Unfortunately, the only guaranteed way of making money is through work, through ownership of a skill. And in fact, the number of people that make serious money out of investing in the stock market are extremely few.
Dr. Andrew Ferris, you've depressed me now. That means I've got to carry on coming to work to earn some money rather than trying to do it in another way. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you also to Alessio Rastani. Thank you for all of your comments. I'm sorry we couldn't get through all of them. But as ever, you can carry on talking about it at facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay.